Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
To talk about the Browns' 1-4 start, to talk about the Dylan Gabriel experience, to talk about the many, many, many things we can about the Browns' latest loss. Here is Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Darryl, welcome to the show.
Hello, boys.
Now, Darryl, are you on video on this too, or is that just for the Morning Boys?
No, I am on video for you guys as well.
Love
the sacrifices that I make.
All right, now you can also be very mean about Darryl too. But not Jake. Is that fair, Darryl?
Green light for that, Darryl?
Yeah, green lights.
Well, I mean, the chin jokes will no doubtedly be rolling on the regular.
Wait, you have a chin problem? I'm not going to say two, but you have a chin problem?
Yeah, I do.
That you don't have one? I don't understand what...
It's a little askew.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's an angular thing. Okay.
Yes.
Well, now I feel bad that we brought that up.
Now,
I thought it was just because I'm obese and whatnot.
The four chins. That's the area we were going on, Darryl.
And that's different than four chins is different than four chins. Now, Darryl.
Same goal.
How, I don't think you've been on 4chan. That's a good look for you. Darryl, we've had fine, shoulder shrug, adequate, acceptable. How would you define, what word would you use to define Dylan Gabriel's NFL debut?
Okay.
Would you care to expound upon
it? Oh, well, you asked for one word, so I gave you one word.
Well, I think the idea is you give some words, and then you give a word, and then you explain
the job.
Why.
You asked him to do the job.
Fair.
He did do the job.
You're at the ChatGPT level of having a conversation right now, though, Darryl. So, why do you think it was okay?
It's what you get for making me self-report my chin.
Fair.
Yeah, look, I mean, he did nothing to lose you the game, but he certainly didn't do enough to win it. Numbers-wise, perfectly acceptable at 19-33 for a .190, the quarterback rating just under 95. He did throw two touchdowns, really loved both throws. Harold Fannin Jr., excellent execution there to have him wide open in the end zone. And then you come back later and you thread the football through three Viking defenders to get it to David Njoku. So I thought he was okay. What I'd like to see now going forward, especially because they're 1-4, and let's be honest about it, I think we've reached the nothing really matters other than the development of these rookies portion of the schedule, is I'd like to see now Kevin Stefanski take the reins off. Very conservative game plan on Sunday, and understandably so, with it being Dylan Gabriel's first NFL start. Now I'd like to see him cut loose. Let him take some shots down the field. Let's go for some of those explosive plays, see if Dylan can execute those. And, that'll tell us whether or not this guy is going to be more than just a backup for the Cleveland Browns or many of the other NFL teams, a la the great backup of all time, Colt McCoy.
Darryl, was this loss more on Stefanski or the defense?
I think Stefanski. Kevin blew it. But the defense, let's be honest about it. If you want to be considered elite, if you want to be considered Super Bowl caliber, one of the best in the National Football League, you got to get that stop. You got to be able to stop Carson Wentz on that final drive. You cannot allow him to drive 80 yards in 10 plays to beat you. That plain and simple, especially because his offensive line was beat up. They were without three starters. He was beat up, had the shoulder injury in game, and yet you let him drive the length of the field with the game on the line. And Denzel Ward, and I'll credit him, he took accountability for the mistake he made on the game-winning touchdown there to Addison, but you can't let Carson Wentz drive the field on you and beat you. But all that being said, Kevin Stefanski absolutely mismanaged the fourth quarter in that game. They got just one first down. I don't understand trying to run the ball with Jerome Ford into a stacked box. That's just not what Jerome Ford does. You got a guy that's got 110 yards in his back pocket. I don't know why you don't run him because, well, he can actually move piles. And so, I don't know why he didn't take advantage on first and second down with some play action. The use of the timeouts late was curious as well. So that one was really on Kevin Stefanski, and it's really a shame. The Browns now should be 3-2. Instead, they're 1-4 because of kicking and coaching.
So with the Kevin Stefanski conversation, obviously it's not just one game of a sample size here. We're going on six seasons here.
Yeah.
And the two most prominent complaints are bad offenses and bad game management. And there's actually a stat that Kevin Stefanski, the offense, has produced 17 points or fewer in 43 of 89 games, which is half of the games he's been here in Cleveland. So I'll ask you, what is the bigger issue with Kevin Stefanski? What's a better gripe to have with Kevin? The putrid offenses for an offensive head coach or the bad game management?
Well, the fact that the offense doesn't produce because he's supposed to be an offensive coach, right? They're supposed to be able to put points on the scoreboard, and frankly, they're not doing it at enough of a consistent clip. It's interesting you bring up the 43 of 89 in which they have failed to score more than 17 points. They are 4-18 in their last 22, dating back to the beginning of last season. They have scored 17 or fewer in 19 of those games. 19 of those games. So just three times in the last 22 games, the Cleveland Browns have gotten more than 17 points in a league that begs you to score no fewer than 21. The Cincinnati Bengals yesterday, without their all-pro Joe Burrow, they managed to put 20 points on the scoreboard. And I realize it was Dylan Gabriel's debut, but at some point, the question needs to be asked. It hasn't mattered the quarterback. It hasn't mattered the coordinator. The bottom line is they don't score. It is a very boring football team to watch offensively. I watch a lot of the National Football League. I said this on my post-game YouTube that I did with Andy Baskin. I don't understand why the Cleveland Browns are so offensively challenged, and they seem to make the sport of football like they're trying to climb Mount Everest every single week. If I was a Browns fan, I would be screaming from the mountaintop. And if Jimmy Haslam and the Haslam Sports Group plan to charge buku dollars to watch games in the brand new Brook Park Barn Dominium, they better figure out and soon how to put an entertaining product on the field. If you're not going to win, at least be entertaining. Jameis Winston didn't win, but dude was entertaining. That game in Denver where he set a club record for like 498 yards passing, he threw 8 touchdowns, 4 to the Browns, 4 to the Denver Broncos. A little tongue-in-cheek there, but that's kind of how that game went. At least it was a fun, entertaining game to watch. So Stefanski's got to figure out how to loosen the reins. It doesn't matter now. You're 1-4. You're not coming back from that. You're going to Pittsburgh. You're probably coming home 1-5. So let's have some fun. Let Dylan Gabriel loose. Let him throw it down the field. Let's see if Jerry Jeudy can catch a football or two. Let's see if you can get something more out of Harold Fannin than just 4 catches in the first half, and make this at least fun for fans to watch. Because right now, it's got to be downright miserable if I'm a Browns fan watching this team.
Darryl, I want to know if you think this assessment is fair. Stefanski just feels like he gets a lead and then he just coaches differently. And like I saw in that fourth quarter, it was very obvious. No drive.
He coached
lasted
not to lose yesterday, and he lost. It was very conservative in the fourth quarter. It was like, okay, we're up 17-14. Let's not do anything that can hurt us. And see that final drive, right? I agree with you, Jonathan. He gets very conservative when he does not have faith in his quarterbacks. Now, he will tell you he does, right? I mean, he got asked, I think, today about Jerry Jeudy, and he said, hey, Jerry's our best receiver on the team. He's a leader. We believe in him. We're counting on him. We know he's going to make those plays, et cetera, et cetera. But let's be honest about it. Jerry has not made those plays consistently. The quarterbacks don't make plays consistently. So, privately, I can understand if Stefanski doesn't have faith in a third-round undersized quarterback. But at the same time, you got to play to win the game, and you can't play not to lose. And it seems every time he plays not to lose, he loses.
Daryl, what did you make of the Shedeur Sanders report by Ian Rappaport yesterday? There will be many follow-ups off this.
Well, Ian reported some of the things I've been saying with you guys, and that is that they do not want to put Shedeur on the field until they feel he's ready. They want to make sure that when they do put him on the field, that they put him in a position to be successful, and that's part of what Rappaport reported. As far as the whole mime thing and the message getting lost in translation from a conversation he may or may not have had with team officials, that's okay, whatever. Look, I wouldn't make him available. Like, he's the third round or he's the third string emergency quarterback. And Shedeur knows what he's doing as well. He knows he's a content machine. I don't buy that it's lost in translation, the whole mime thing. He knew what he was doing, whether he was responding to the national criticism, Rex Ryan amongst those nationally that were ripping on him in some respects, I think unfairly a little bit. But also I understand you're the third string emergency quarterback. Maybe you shouldn't have to be quoted on a weekly basis.
I just feel like the simplest explanation is the one that makes sense. If it was lost in translation, if mm-hmm. I am to believe that, right. They told him, don't say anything about it, and then he didn't say anything about it. Can't we just arrive at the conclusion at how, like, impossibly funny that is?
I mean, look, it was a creative way of going about it. And again, Shedeur knows he's a content machine, right? Well, and he knew when he did that, that was absolutely going to go viral. It was going to make headlines.
But when you say, real quick, when you say, like, he's a content machine, he knows that.
Yeah, he talks about it.
Well, but it does sound way more Machiavellian. Like there's like the marionette playing the strings. Like, it, that's a little, that feels a little heavy handed for me.
Well, look, I'm not trying to be condescending or insulting, and I certainly am not, trying to criticize him. He has talked about in media sessions the pursuit of content where he is concerned. Amongst the media, and everything he does and says goes viral, and how he's aware of that. Those are his words. That's his own admission. So I can't give him a pass to where, well, he didn't know that that was going to be such a big deal when he did that. I can't give him that pass because he's very much aware of the attention he gets on social media.
Is he next up? And if you do think he is next up and it's not Bailey Zappe or Deshaun Watson, what week do you think that'll be based off of 1 week of watching Dylan Gabriel?
Well, based on what Rappaport put out there, which it was contrary to maybe what I was thinking, the Browns don't want to play Deshaun Watson, according to Rappaport. And so I would have to say there's nothing to gain by playing Bailey Zappe. So it's about going from Dylan Gabriel to Shedeur Sanders. When that transition would be, Jonathan, I have no idea. I just, because you asked the question, mm-hmm. to give you an answer, I don't know, December maybe?
I think Ken guessed the Jets game. Does that feel right to you? I think that's early November.
Like week 10?
It's early November?
Yeah, that for me, I think that's a tad early. But also at the same time, I think a lot of it's depending on how things are going with Dylan Gabriel. If they're going well, and you see the continued growth, and look, there has been growth from looking just like he didn't belong on an NFL field at points during training camp to now where, okay, he looked pretty serviceable yesterday, did a nice job, took care of the ball, they a couple of touchdown drives together, not enough to win, but he didn't cost you by being on the football field. So if he can continue to grow and progress, I would say that there shouldn't be much of a sense of urgency to play Shedeur Sanders. But we all know what Jimmy Haslam said during training camp and how, Kevin Stefanski understands the assignment this season of needing to evaluate both of these rookies. And I don't think you can fairly evaluate Shedeur Sanders in one or two or three games. I do think you have to give him at least four, maybe five starts. And even then, I don't think that that's enough. And the same thing goes for Dylan Gabriel. I want to be fair to both of these kids. I just don't think that, considering the varied runways that these quarterbacks require. I mean, Josh Allen needed a couple of seasons to turn into the player he is. You know, not everybody gets it right away, and you certainly don't expect that third and fifth round pick quarterbacks are just going to get it and the light bulb goes off as a rookie. So I think we got to be fair in looking at it through the right lens.
Daryl, Dylan has grandchildren. We're not going to call him a kid. Shador's actually 22. He just earned the right to drink about a year ago. When do we start worrying about Kevin Stefanski losing the locker room, as the Browns are now 4-18 in their last 22?
Well, I'd say this week in Pittsburgh is pretty important, even though I think I know how they're coming home, how that movie ends. It's how it always ends when they go to Pittsburgh. They've won once during the regular season in that stadium, and that was in 2003, since it opened. Yes, I realize they won the COVID playoff game, and it was a friends and family night, socially distanced, with about 400 people in attendance total. But that building is just a house of nightmares for this franchise. So I have no expectation of them going into Pittsburgh and winning this week. But if you start 1-5, you fall to 1-6, I do think that the message of we got to be better and we're going to be better and we got to play complimentary football and all the cliches that Kevin tosses at us on a weekly basis, I got to imagine at some point that will start to wear thin, especially amongst a defensive group that has given them an opportunity to win each and every one of these games this season, and the offense just hasn't been able to hold up their end of the bargain. And guess who's in charge of the offense? It's Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, but isn't it Jimmy Haslam? Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you later on this week.
You bet, you guys. Have a great week.
Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Or I don't know, given the way the Browns have treated Shador to this point, and given the fact that I don't think that Dylan is going to completely mess the bed when it comes to this job, I don't know why any of us should expect Shador to see the field before February. Before February.
I was going to say, the season's over.
Wait, that was a misdirect.
Okay.
Before December.
Before December, okay.
Yeah.
So you disagree with Ken's assessment then?
Yeah, I just think so the Jets game is, that's November 9th. So that means we've got, eight games left? We're talking about coming off the bye?
That's too many games, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's not based off what you would do or I would do or what Kenny would do or what Anthony would do. No, it's about what they would do. They've already told you, and when I say they, I'm talking really about Kevin. Like, Kevin's whoobie is Dylan.
Mm-hmm. He wants Dylan to work.
Yes, he really
does.
That's the
reality. He wants Dylan to work.
And giving Dylan three more games?
In a way that I don't know that he wants Shador to work.
I would agree, yeah. I think maybe Andrew Berry wants Shador to work like that.
Sure.
I think maybe Jimmy Haslam looking at the pocketbook
he turns into it. I mean, Daryl just gave a really impassioned whole everything that was based off of entertain me. Make me a bicycle. Like be anything that isn't boring, essentially, is what Daryl was telling us. And Shador is anything but boring. Like, if you go, and this is why I've always wondered about how this season was going to play out and who actually gets to pull the levers and who doesn't. And typically, Nick, you know this because you've been around long enough. Like, it's the NFL owner typically gets to make the call. And an owner like Jimmy Haslam, I think he's going to have that same reaction that Daryl eventually does and says, not only are we losing, but we're boring while losing. Get me Shador Sanders.
Yeah, I really hope hope it doesn't have to come to the owner for doing that. At some point, I would like the big boys to realize how bad it is. Because if the owner makes that decision, you deserve to be fired.
Well, you think it would be under self-preservation at a minimum, right? Like, yeah. If Dylan's bad enough that we're talking about them being boring and losing, then you also have to wonder if maybe Shador can be that little wrinkle that you throw in that changes everything around.
But December 7th is against Tennessee, so that would be a soft launch against Tennessee.
It's then a good soft launch.
You got the Bears, but then you also have the Buffalo Bills, so that's a good test. Then Pittsburgh, and then Cincy. Mm-hmm. So even if Burrow's back, you at least get two teams that should be winnable. And here's the other part. That means that Dylan would have gotten 8 starts, assuming that it goes all the way through Dylan, then to Shador.
Yeah.
So Flacco gets 4, then Dylan gets 8, and Shador gets 5.
8 does feel like a lot if 8 is what we watched yesterday.
No, 8 feels appropriate for yesterday because yesterday was serviceable.
I mean,
I think he has to cock out of the bed for it to be less than 8.
I think if we get one game over the next 2 weeks, and maybe it's a Pittsburgh game, maybe it's the game after that, where he just looks like, shows just a glimpse of being a generational quarterback or a franchise quarterback, just a glimpse. It's not who he's always going to be. Then I think it gets extended out. But if it's four or five games of this, I wonder if they'll just look at it like Flacco at the end of the day.
So I think if he's serviceable, it probably comes down to, no, I think if you're 0-8, But he looks serviceable, meaning Kevin lost this game, the O-line lost this game, mm-hmm. Jerry Jeudy dropped this game, like where you're not pointing at the kid and saying
scoring
he's
more
what?
Than 20 points.
That's serviceable. About 20. Let's say it's 20, 21 points.
Because 17, I mean, I know we're calling it serviceable because that's what it was yesterday. It's not Dylan's fault, the entirety of it. He had a really bad offensive line. You had nothing as far as tackles were concerned, but... You can't score 17 every week and continue to run that out.
I feel pretty confident in saying, and again, it's not what I would do, it's not what you would do, and we have to specify that. Mm-hmm. We're going off how they've treated both guys. I imagine that Shador's ascension is going to coincide, much in the same way Dylan Gabriel's did, with the decline of the quarterback that's starting. Teams are incredibly mm-hmm. tedious about this messaging, and it's really, really transparent. You can see it coming from a mile away, as you pointed earlier with the Shador piece from Rappaport over the weekend.
Yeah.
But I think the only way Shador gets in before December 7th is if Dylan Gabriel gets hurt. I really do think that's the only way. Mm. Or if Kevin gets fired before then.
Okay.
Because I could see if Tommy Rees takes over after the bye, or if Tommy Rees took over after the Raiders game, I could then see you going, all right, Tommy Rees is the interim, or maybe Tommy's actually programming the offense. Maybe Schwartz is the interim, or Ventrone's the interim, and then bam, Shador's the starter.
Yeah, because you can't go Shador to then go back to go back to Dylan Gabriel if it doesn't work out. Like that doesn't exist. You then would go. You'd be going to Bailey Zappi. You'd be going to somebody else. And so, like in my opinion, if you put Shador out there, that's his for the rest of the season. You have to be comfortable. I'd be very comfortable, but you have to be comfortable saying if that's 8 games, 7 games, 6 games, then that's his runway and that's it.
216-474-0092. When is the earliest you think we would see Shador Sanders this year? Now we have an update here. The LeBron teasing the second decision. Which some have taken to be he's going to announce his retirement and a retirement tour. Others are maybe pointing out that maybe he's going to be part of the big Amazon NBA stuff, an announcement, something like that. It should be noted that this is having a massive effect on the secondary ticket market. The get-in price for the Cavs-Lakers game in Cleveland this year.
That's like January 28th, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
So, again, it would be LeBron's last game in Cleveland for the worst seat in the building. It's 5:30.
Yeah, it's an insane amount of money. So wait, when we talked about this earlier, I thought we were playing under the, is it Amazon or is it LeBron is just announcing his retirement as if his retirement was happening tomorrow, as if he was like, I love golf too much. I've done enough in the NBA. I'm gone. This would suggest.
You think LeBron's going to retire without a retirement tour?
Well, so that's the suggestion that the internet is making here now, is that he's doing it for the retirement tour. And this would be the whole every. I thought we were doing it under the guise of like, I'm just stepping away and I'm done. That's it.
No.
That wasn't it.
We were only doing this as
tomorrow was the announcement for all of next year.
I would be.
Oh, I missed that. I got lost in translation there.
I would be incredibly shocked if LeBron was just like,
I would be too.
I don't want to do it.
That's why I was betting on him going on the Amazon tour instead. I was like, he's gonna sell out Bezos's TV packages long before he says, I'm just done.
Now, if he announces his retirement tomorrow, I mean, in a retirement tour, though, the 5:30 is going to be an absolute steal for that ticket.
Okay, we're talking what people would pay to get into places, and people pay a lot of money to get into a lot of places. What would you pay to get in, though?
Because I'm not taking anyone. It's me. Okay. I'm going. I can't afford to take the whole family.
The single ticket up to Loudville for $530?
I'd pay $1,000 for it. For LeBron?
$1,000?
Yes.
I'm too cheap for this guy.
The most consequential player of my lifetime.
Yeah, I'll watch it for my TV.
And the guy that brought a championship here for the chance to say thank you, LeBron. Would I actually
going
to
scream that from Loudville?
Well, no, you're going
to thank you, LeBron.
What do you think we're going to chant?
I don't think we're going to chant thank you. You think a whole arena is going to go? Okay, all at once, guys. One, two,
have
three.
LeBron.
We're
not going to do the LeBron thing. We're just going to say thank you. You chant. Wait, you've never heard a whole arena chant thank you?
What? No. Give me an example. What am I missing here? Give me an example of an arena.
I will find one.
For an opposing player chanting thank you.
Well, why does the opposing player matter? He's not opposing. He's from here.
He's opposing. He's on the Lakers. How does the chant
sports
go?
Sports crowd.
Is it just like thank you and that's it?
Can
or is
you
it like,
give me
thank you? Thank you.
Okay, that's not chanting. That's more of show me your tricks, big boy.
You see how ridiculous it sounds?
It sounds like we're about to call LeBron daddy there.
See how ridiculous it sounds?
Daddy's back.
All right, wait. You got your LeBron jersey on, you got your backwards Cavs hat on, and you're like, thank you, LeBron! I paid $1,000 to see you!
All right, wait.
Thank you!
All right. When chants fan, thank you. What did I say? When fans chant thank you, AI saying thank you is a sarcastic jab. Remember, Packers fans chanting thank you, Jerry.
Oh, they weren't serious.
You think there's not going to be a thank you, LeBron chant? That is the craziest thing in the world.
I didn't know the idea that
you think I'm the crazy one here.
He probably gets like a 15 minute standing ovation.
I never really heard a chant, but
you'll have a great standing ovation.
Yeah,
you'll have great applause. It'll be like 12 million tribute videos. It will be the night of LeBron. No one's saying that. But the idea that you pay $1,000 because you want to sit up there in Loudville and go, thank you.
Well, that's not the only reason. The whole point of going and cheering for him in whatever way you do it is going to be a thank you.
MVP chants are real. I don't know about thank you chants.
I think you're being incredible. You know what? This is why you're not going.
I'm not going. I'm too cheap for this conversation.
What would you
anyway.
Chant at LeBron?
As if LeBron's going to hear it.
I don't even know what you would chant other than thank you. I know, but it's not one guy chanting. The whole arena chants.
We love you. You could say we love you.
I mean, it'd be cool if like they did like fun LeBron-themed stuff.
Is we love you,
we
LeBron,
love you?
Ridiculous?
We love you. All in unison now.
That's how chanting works.
Yeah. So
Are you new to chanting?
You two do the chant of we love you, LeBron, and see how it sounds.
No, because
clunky
it's two
hell.
Guys.
Clunky. We love you, LeBron.
No, you don't have to say LeBron.
Again,
you say
that
we
sounds
love
very.
It's not
that
work.
Sounds like a bit of a release. That sounds tawdry.
You don't have to say LeBron's name in it. You just say we
it's
love
not
you.
Work.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. We love you. We love you.
Now that
See?
Sounded better.
Yes.
That sounded better.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, I did sound special there. 216-474-0092. That was not great. I can do better.
Chants are hard. Chants are hard.
Yeah, because the one guy is not chanting. It's just a delusional freak. A chant is when you have a crowd of people doing it.
I just love the idea of you getting ready to go down to the arena and being like, this is my thank you to LeBron. Let's do this.
Well, no, because you also have to have a thank you LeBron sign.
Well, yeah. Well, I wonder if they did like LeBron themed stuff. So like everyone would have like chalk, and then all at a certain point, everyone throws chalk up in the air. You know, everything is.
It's a very highfalutin crowd. It's not just going to be chalk thrown up in the air. A snowstorm's going to hit the arena.
That stuff's not cheap.
Cavalanche.
He did pay $500,000 for that machine. He's going to get some use out of it.
Dan just peppers the crowd with blow.
and then says, this is the toss-up.
And then
this
it goes
time.
From thank you, LeBron, to thank you, Dan. But it sounds like the way you chanted thank you earlier.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.